From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For decades, he was one of Hollywood's most acclaimed filmmakers, known as a risk-taker who directed such iconic hits as MASH and Nashville. Last night, Robert Altman died in Los Angeles. He was 81. Altman was nominated 5 times for Academy Awards, and he finally received an Oscar for Lifetime Achievement earlier this year. In a few minutes, Michelle will talk with actor Elliot Gould, who worked with Altman on several films. First, our critic Bob Mondello has this appreciation.
Huge casts throwing scripts to the wind and improvising. Long tracking shots that would be insane to attempt even without actors who were improvising. The blackest of black comedy, and everywhere dialogue overlapping and bleeding from one scene to the next. That was Robert Altman's signature from the first time anyone noticed him in 1970 with his irreverent wartime satire, MASH. At a time when movie dialogue was all about clarity, Altman's opening scene is a declaration that things this time will be different.
Radar!
Yes, sir.
Why don't you get a hold of Major Burns?
Tell him we're going to
have to hold a couple of surgeons over from the day shift out of the night shift.
I'm putting a call in to General Hammond and Saul. I hope he sends us those two new surgeons. We're sure going to need them.
What was that, sir?
I give everything to Radar.
What?
MASH made Altman the grand old man of Hollywood's new wave. In his late 40s, when the headline-making Spielbergs and Scorseses were decades younger, he wasn't much interested in doing things the Hollywood way. He made a sort of anti-Western called McCabe and Mrs. Miller, which was all about whorehouse capitalists spreading corruption. He crossed up detective movie conventions in Raymond Chandler's The Long Goodbye with Elliot Gould. And then, in Nashville, he made what is arguably his masterwork, setting the likes of Lily Tomlin and Keith Carradine to singing country songs in a film that more or less defines the term political satire. Altman's work in the decades after Nashville was erratic as he leaped from intimate dramas to enormous ensemble films. His interlocking epic Shortcuts perfected that narrative style long before films like Crash. His Hollywood-mocking comedy The Player opens with a tracking shot that's both a joke and a tour de force. And if it sometimes seemed that he followed every successful film with one that was simply strange, he was, as he told NPR's Jackie Lydon 6 years ago, philosophical about how his films were received.
You know, it's like your own children. All these films, I love them all. And we tend to love our least successful children the most because they seem to need the most protection. But when they're finished and they're disconnected from me. That cord is cut. And all I can do is observe them and pray for them and hope that they succeed in happiness.
Often they did, though Hollywood's moguls kept writing him off anyway. There was no love lost between Altman and the business world of film, but he had nothing but respect for actors, and the feeling was mutual. Tinseltown's biggest names clamored for even bit parts because he gave them a chance to discover and create and grow. So much so that, as he told NPR's Lynn Neary on the set of Prairie Home Companion last year, they often got completely caught up in the moment, and so did he.
So I have to have somebody, I say, how was that? Did they say everything? Did they leave something out? And many times I'll say, that was great. And the script girl was here to me, and she says, you know, they didn't say the part about killing the fish. I said, what was that? And I said, well, that's the important part of the scene. That's the point of the scene. I said, oh, we have to do that again. And don't forget about killing the fish.
Prairie Home Companion, a kind of showbiz elegy that was all about wrapping things up, was fated to be Altman's final film. When he received his Oscar for Lifetime Achievement earlier this year, he revealed that he'd had a heart transplant a decade ago and had never really expected to work again after it. Happily for audiences, he worked more or less constantly, crafting 7 more films, earning a 5th Oscar nomination for Best Director, and staying true to his fiercely independent ethos.
There's not a filmmaker alive, nor has there ever been, who's had a better shake than I have. In 40 years, I have never been without a job. I've never been without a project of my choosing. Now, that doesn't mean I may be doing a picture for, you know, $8 million, $9 million today, where if it were done in under normal circumstances with a studio, that would have been 25 to 30. But it suits me fine.
Suited audiences, too. I'm Bob Mondello.